You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, we're continuing with our series of Shirim on the Torah of Recovery with the Light Revealed. And in this week's Parsha, we encounter the Ketores. We encounter the spice offering, the smell that emerged from the spice offering, which represented a fundamental place in the work of the Beis HaMikdash. And when it is seen through the lens of Pnimiyas HaTorah, when it's seen through the lens of the inner meaning behind it, this element of the Mishkan, this element of the Beis HaMikdash, the Ketores, the collection of the 11 spices and the offering of that scent of the spices upwards in the form of the Ketores, in the form of the Reach Nichoach to Hashem, the pleasant smell to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it occupies a central place, and when it comes to specific elements of understanding Pnimiyas HaTorah, Ketores is not just one teaching amongst others, but rather Ketores is in and of itself the essential point, as we're going to see. It just so happens that the confluence of time between this week's Parsha and the holiday of Purim, Purim Katan, which we're going to experience tomorrow night, Be'ezras Hashem, on the Yud Dalet of Adar Rishon, which is the secret of Zeha Katan Gadol Yihyeh, the illumination of the smallness of Purim itself, meaning smallness, Purim is B'derek Klal smallness. The entire nace of Purim is B'derek Klal, the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within smallness itself. That's the entire thing, the revolution, the transvaluation of all things where the bottom is revealed to be the top. And we don't know between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, we reach a place of Adul Yoda. It's the revelation of the lowest place being illuminated with the deepest light, the Hastara, Shabbatoich Hastara, being illuminated with the Aleph Beseser, with the light of the infinite, the wondrous light of the infinite that connects above and below, remaining in its hidden place, that secret unity of the Giloy of Yesod Da'aba, the Neskala Lamata, Olam Ma'asiya, the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wondrous unity, which is revealed in the mundane, day-to-day things that appear to be devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the secret of Purim, and revealing that to be the very source of the illumination of a person's life, revealing how the lowest is the site of the highest, revealing how the struggle, the difficulty, the process, the darkness, the concealment, all of the different synonyms that we often describe, use to describe the human experience when it is confronted with the existential antinomies of this worldly existence, which are just the foundation upon which we actually experience life, where when confronted with all of those different elements, a person feels a certain way as a religious, spiritual creature that seeks out the Rabbanu Shlalem, that seeks out God, we encounter a place of Purim in our lives. We encounter that place of concealment, that hither side of things. And Purim is the revelation of Avinu HaPeichu, that light is in truth the place of the highest. And then we have Purim Katan. Purim Katan is the katnus within Purim itself, meaning the smallness within the smallness. You thought that Purim is the lowest. Purim Katan represents the fact that there are some moments in life that appear to be even devoid of that ability to say that I'm still by Purim. Ki'ilu, as if there's a place that's outside of Purim, as if there's a place that's not contained within the enormity of Purim, within the light of Purim. But Purim Katan represents that there's times where a person is feeling like such a katan in their own eyes. The katnus is the katnus of a katnus. It's a smallness of smallness, where a person doesn't even know what to place themselves upon. A person can't find the Nekudah Tova. What's revealed is the miracle of Purim Katan, that even in that place, there's a Purim. Why? Because Be'emes, the entire truth of Purim, the transformation of all concealment into light, is simply what takes place at the lowest point. When something hits the bottom, suddenly there's a reversal, there's a venhapachu, where the power and the energy that was motivating this thing to descend from above down below, instead of hitting below and shattering, instead it curves, and with that very force that it has developed along its journey downwards, and in accordance with the height at which it left is going to be the speed in which it descends down to the bottom, there's a curve which is then a reascension upwards of that light, the Or Chozer, and what we thought was going to be the end is revealed to a beginning. And that bottom place, that is Purim. The Hagdara, the way that we grasp, the way that we encounter the bottom moment of hopelessness or apparent hopelessness is what we call Purim, where there's a chashash, there's a danger of the neshama being destroyed, the guf being destroyed, ben kach u ben kach, a rock bottom experience. Purim is the rock bottom. Mamela, we think that Purim is usually a rock bottom, the Purim that we know, the way that we orient ourselves towards the story of the Megillah and all of the emotional experiences that are contained within that day. And not talking about alcoholic intoxication whatsoever. The intoxication of Purim is an intoxication of prophecy, like the Rama says. It's an intoxication of lo yada, of not knowing anything. It has absolutely nothing to do with a state of physical intoxication, as we'll speak about and as we've spoken about. So any time that there appears to be a lower moment than what I previously thought the lower moment was, it means that that new lower moment needs to contain within itself the light of a Purim. And so Purim Katan on a certain level represents that even when I fall away from what I previously thought was a Purim, I thought I had hit the bottom in my life. I thought I had hit the bottom in my concern and my distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this moment, in the heaviness of this world. And all of the symptoms that that brings, the healthy ones, the difficult ones, all of what we're all working through throughout the entirety of our lives, the traumas of everyday life, the everyday life of traumas, all of it. Purim Katan represents that there will come a time where a person will even fall away from the bottom that they thought was the bottom, and they'll come to realize, oh my gosh, I thought it was the bottom. It's not really the bottom. There's a further bottom, that the bottom drops out, that it's an abysmal depth, that the Tohim Rabba, it's a seamlessly endless depth. Purim Katan reveals that wherever you're going to fall, wherever you're going to fall, you're going to find Purim. Purim Katan means that even in the place of the Katnus Shebekatnus, even when you fall away from the Katnus and you fall into a new level of Katnus Shebekatnus, ultimately, it's revealed at that moment, wherever a person lands, wherever a person's feet hit the ground, the dancing begins. That's Purim, and that's the secret of Purim Katan. And so Purim Katan, as we're going to see, is deeply connected to Ketores as well. It's deeply connected to the secret of what Ketores represents. Now, Ketores was the attempt to gather all of the separate parts, all of the separate smells, all of the separate spices, all of the separate olfactory hues that would ascend to bring pleasure, kavyachal, to the divine nose, kavyachal, and the theory of the partsuf, not the theory of the partsufim, the reality of the partsufim, in the reality of the partsufim, in the reality of the partsufim, the divine nose, kavyachal, without getting stuck in the language, because that's not where we're at right now, connected to Malchus HaGnuza Beradla, as we're going to see based on the second teaching in Rabbi Nachman of Breslov's Likutei Maharan, about the nukva, the perdashka, the feminine aspect of the nose, the nostrils themselves, which are Malchus, that are mechuber to Zer Anpin, the Ateres HaYesod, kavyachal. But the nose is a place that is refined. The nose is that place of refinement that was not nifgam. The nose never became polluted in the initial chet of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon saw. Adam HaRishon saw the tree. Adam HaRishon heard the words of Chava. Adam HaRishon tasted. He touched. He did all of those things, but he was never poigim. He never polluted his sense of smell. The sense of smell remains to a certain degree purified in relation to the other senses. Now, nothing is completely purified because the only absolutely pure thing was prior to the descent away from the Eitz HaChayim. But once we ate from the Eitz HaDas Tovara, once we entered into a world of confusion. So what happens is that everything is nifgam. So smell is also nifgam, which is why it still needs a bracha, as the Meforshim point out, because a bracha is there to clarify the good from the bad. If the nose never sinned, if the smell never was nifgam, so why make a bracha elema? It exists, and therefore there needs to be a birur. It's not a birur of, it's not a clarification of good from bad, but it's good. It's okay from good. It's a revelation of the best within each thing. There's a birur even when there's no need for a birur, even when there's no pagam in the nose, in the smell, in the sense of my connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that chush hareach, through that deep sense of smell, that olfactory sense, which represents a sense of self. We're not talking only about the physical sense. If a person is refined, it's the physical sense. But otherwise, it's an abstract form, at least as I understand it, a way of relating that's associated with smell, something that's associated with the secret of Mashiach, Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem. Smell that orients one towards memory, that orients one towards home. The Jewish people were stuck in exile in Mitzrayim. They had no ability to bring the Korban Pesach, they had no ability to free themselves from their servitude. And so what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He lit the Korban Pesach so that the smell would return the Jewish people back home. There's a certain element of the Reach Nichoyach, of the Nishmas Chayim, the breath, breathing, learning how to breathe again, inhaling and exhaling through the nose, orienting ourselves towards taking a deep breath, being Mamtik Af, removing anger like we spoke about. The nose represents this redemptive place of Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem. And the Keteros was a representation of the fact that we can bring ourselves to that place even prior to redemption. That the Keteros is the secret of Sheminu Keteros Yismach Leva Venosh. There's a joy that comes with Keteros. Why? Because Keteros, like we said, is a language of connectivity. That I connect to something, I connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like Rabbi Shimon said, B'chad katirna aktarena, I connected my entire life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one fell swoop of connectivity. The Keteros represents connectivity. It also represents the ability to remove all of the stench and the odor of this worldliness, as Rav Tzaddok says, based on the Rambam, that this stench of this world, the pungency of this world appears to be difficult. It appears to be suffocating at times, like the Gemara tells us about Moshe Rabbeinu, who wanted so badly to proclaim the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu down here in the stuckness with the secret of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Lolam Vod, the secret of the Yichud Tata. But he was embarrassed too, because it's like a princess who smells a pungent odor, and what should she do? She can't eat this. It's not matim to the princess. But on the other hand, she's so desirous after that pungency itself, the intensity and the beauty that comes out of the confrontation with the stench of this worldly experience and the struggle of what it means to be a human being and the ground to ground, the feet to the ground encounter of the birur, of the engagement of the yegia. So he whispered, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vaed, but we need this smell. We need this pungency and this odor of the smell. And what the Keteros does is it takes it away, it removes it, it sweetens it, it elevates it back up to a place where it came from. It reveals that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's mamtik everything, it sweetens everything. The Keteros represents the 11 spices. 11 represents those parts of ourselves which are extra. The Zohar HaKadosh says that there are 10 spheros, not 9 and not 11. 11 is always a mark of something that comes from the opposite side, in the sense that it's the opposite of holiness. Holiness has enough, and unholiness wants more. It wants more. It always, kol ha-moisif go'ireya, it wants to add more because it feels it can find actual satisfaction. And in that very attempt to always add more and more and more in the hopes that I'll finally find satisfaction, I'll find perfection, it's megala, it reveals its pegam, it's megala, its deficiency, which is the fact that it thinks it can become perfect. The desire to go from 10 to 11, which is the mark of the other side, which is going to the Yud Aleph officers of Esav, the 11 days between Har Sinai and the mountain of Esav, the 11 days between the sun and the moon, the 11 days, the 11 spices in Keteros, all of this represents the encounter with the pungency of this world, the encounter with difficulty of this world, yet not the running away from it, but rather the entering into it to refine it, to harness it, and to elevate it back up to a place that can bring about a level of joy that would be inaccessible without the encounter with the pungency or the difficult. The Keteros represents the separation that needs to be unified. The 11 spices, when we uncover the secret nekuda that holds all of it together, all of that extra, that pungency, is transformed into the place where we encounter God in a more and more revealed way. Every encounter of difficulty, every encounter of kli, every encounter of struggle becomes another opportunity, a stepping stone to be makasha ourselves, to connect myself to the goodness that exists in all things, to the all rightness of all things in this moment, to the simcha itself, to hiskashrus, to connectivity, to awareness, to belief, to affirmation, to life itself, to the connectivity to this moment with the affirmation of that things are good, Hashem is good, the world is good, things will continue to be good, things will only get better. Keteros brings us to that place. Keteros takes us from a place of pirud, from separation, what appears to be extra and pungent, and the worlds of separation, and it transforms it. It connects all of them to attach itself back upwards to draw down blessing, which is the secret of the parnasa that comes along with the saying of the Keteros. Keteros is the recognition that all separation in this world, all of the various odors and scents of this world, they represent the different parts, the separation, the fragmentation, all of the various stations along the way that make me feel that the world is a separate and fractured and fragmented thing. But the secret of Keteros, which is the secret of the Kesher Dekula, which is the connectivity of the Yom HaKippurim experience and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that singular line of vision of Rabbi Shimon's vision, of the Tzaddik Elyon's vision, of the Tzaddik Yisod Olam, of the connectivity within myself, that singular focus on the next right thing in the next moment, that connects all of the disparate points and it brings it back to a place. It's Megala, the Nitzutz HaKodesh, that hidden spark that always remains hidden within this worldliness. Always, no matter how ugly it is, no matter how difficult it is, as we're going to see in connection to Purim. Now, the secret of Keteros is the secret that the Arizal describes as Mitu Kadinim B'Sherasham, that the Keteros represents concealment, the struggle in our lives. It represents the fragmentation, the pungency of life that comes about from the difficult encounter with the edge of things. But at the very same moment, it offers us the opportunity to take that intensity and elevate it back up and to connect it and to reveal the beauty and the pleasant nature that is added to the spiritual experience, to the experience of self, that comes about by way of the proper encounter and delicate dance through the process of difficulty in one's life. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, Elis Lamarim, Shavisa Shavi, took presents from all of the Malachim. All of them gave something to him. As we know that the Malachim had a kitrug against Moshe Rabbeinu. The Malachim said, you don't deserve to get the Torah because the Torah is a perfect thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. The Torah is perfect. And we're much closer to perfection than human beings are. And they said, Hashem, don't give it to them. They're going to mess it up. They can't do anything. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Rabbeinu Shlalem, I'm scared. What am I going to do? They're going to burn me with the fire of their mouths. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, you go and answer them. Hold on to my Kisei HaKavod, as Rabbi Nachman is Masbir in the first Torah in the Likutei Maran Chelek Beis, the place where it's revealed the Maila, the greatness that a human being has over Malach, specifically because we struggle, specifically because we can bring Keteiros, specifically because we know that pungency, that desire for extra, that Kol HaMoisif Gareya, that I always feel I need more, 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 because I assume that I can be perfect, and if I can be perfect and I'm not perfect, then I have to always do more, more, more. And it's the shigaon, the madness that continues to push us over and over out of ourselves because we feel we're meant to be perfect rather than accept ourselves. That tendency is the very thing that allows us to have a power over the malachim because we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu even there. We find calmness even there. And so all of the malachim decided after HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed that, you know what? Moshe said to the malachim, do you die? Do you struggle? Do you fight? All of the human tendencies, the pungency of human experience, the concealment, the extra. Do you have any of this malachim? And the malachim couldn't answer. And so Moshe Rabbeinu said, then it's for me, because this is what the Torah is written about. The struggle itself is the hechsher mitzvah. Without the struggle, without the chisaron koidem, there would be no need for the Torah, which is meshivas nafesh. It's being human that allows us to become the receptacle proper to receive the Torah. It's the broken vessels of the Aron Kodesh, like we spoke about last week. And so we know when a person accuses somebody of something and they're proven wrong, so you're meant to give a blessing. So all of the malachim gave blessings. Lakachos matanos mi bnei Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim and he took gifts. One of those matanos was Shevi, Shimon ben Yochai, Shlomo ben Yitzchak, Yitzchak ben Shlomo rather, the Arizal, Shlomo ben Yitzchak also, Rashi HaKadosh, Yisrael Baal Shem, Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The one malach that didn't give a gift was the malach HaMavis. The one malach that didn't give a gift was the malach of death. The condition of being human, the loss of things, the death that takes place in each and every moment. Halavai, we should all live to 120 Ad Vias Goyal Tzedek, and there should be no more death, and that Bala Hamavas Lenetzach, and that all of the actual death should be alleviated, and it should be moved, and everybody should live forever with Vias HaMashiach, B'mhira B'yameinu, take it from Yad. But even when that day comes, there will always be a notion of death, because death is a fundamental spiritual capacity, as the Gra points out, as all of the Tzaddikim point out. The mitzias of me, so the mitzias of the degradation of something or the disappearance of something, and the actual feeling of the void away from that thing and not having that thing and the feeling that I will never retrieve that thing again or the sense that that thing is irretrievable, that nekuda, the malach hamavas, the void, the chalal panui in this world that appears to be extra, all of those things, that irreducible kernel of difficulty of the tzimtzum that a person's mind can't quite crack until you come to look at the face of a tzaddik without trying to answer it, only in the shtika of Moshe Rabbeinu's descent into the Chalal HaPanui, as Rabbi Nachman describes in the 64th teaching in Likutei Maran. The Malach HaMavis didn't give a bracha, because to get a bracha from that place, to reveal how that place is also Kedusha, to reveal how that place of absence is also a place of birth and regeneration, and that even absence is filled and simsim in a kapshuto, even when we feel it's kapshuto, v'chule v'chule, all of the Torahs of Purim. So it wasn't time yet to receive a gift like that, because to receive a gift from that is to reveal that it's truly good, is to be mahapich the malach ra to a malach tov. It's to force the negative angel to say yes against their will, which is the secret of Rabbi Meir, malach ra yomer amen, which is the secret of acher being nichlal back into the Torah, which is the Rosh Tevos of Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem, the secret of the Keteiros that illuminates the smell of Mashiach, the Moirich Vadayan, the one who comes to smell certainty. The marjor, the pleasant spice of Mordechai, of Yisoy the Abba that's in the Scala down here to reveal that this place is Gan Eden Mamish, a chut shel boysam, smells beautiful. Beautiful smells to develop and to allow the soul to ascend higher and higher to reveal its connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We didn't know how to receive the blessing from the Malach HaMavis, but Moshe Rabbeinu persisted as the tzaddik always does. And he received the gift from the Malach HaMavis, and that gift from the Malach HaMavis was Keteiros, Chazal say. Because Katairis is this encounter with this element of quote unquote death, this descent into degradation, into loss of self, into loss of ideal, into loss of hope, into loss of expectation. However momentary it might feel, the more delicately we train ourselves to perceive the inner movements of ourselves in relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more opportunities will be revealed in front of us to reveal the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more opportunities will be revealed in front of us to reveal the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so this secret of Ketores, of paying attention to the small moments of death within a person's day-to-day experience, the descent away, the loss, the appetite, the craving, all of those are opportunities to transform it into a pleasant smell. And how does one transform it into a pleasant smell? Now, there are two elements, two ways to be mamtik the dinim of Ketores. There are many ways, and there's much more to say about the experience of Ketores, but our lives are a life of Ketores. Each and every person is preparing their own Ketores for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each and every person is preparing their own Ketores. Each person's life is the development of the Ketores, the gathering together of all of those smells, all of those different odors, and coalescing them all together to show how all of the different experiences that appear so devoid of connectivity and appear so devoid of a centering point of goodness, in truth, they reveal a sum total of ascent that's greater than the sum of its parts that brings about Mashiach, which is greater than the sum total of the parts of our existence. And the two ways are as follows. The two ways are as follows. The first is that when it comes to the Ketores, what we would do with the Ketores, what was needed to be done with the Ketores was it needed to be ground. All of the elements, all of the spices, all of the plants that were utilized to create the Ketores itself needed to be ground up. They needed to undergo a process of breaking them down. Birur, achar birur, achar birur. Any scent, any plant, any odor needs to go undergo a birur and a zichuch and a refinement and a refinement and a refinement and a clarification and a study and an iyun and an iyun and understanding what it's for and what it's not for and what role it might play and what role it doesn't play and its viability in this or that or all of the other considerations. Every spice needed to be mivurar. Everything in existence needs to be mivurar, broken down, dak min hadak. Sachak and yafa yafa kadeshi dak min hadak, refining it, hachna, havdalah, hamtaka. Prior to encountering any of the spices, any of the elements of this worldly experience of Ketores, to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu there, it needs to undergo the process of the three stages of making it smaller, separating myself from it, first making it smaller, not so big anymore, then separating myself from it, then I have the ability to elevate it. And all of the birurim, that's the sachak and yafa yafa, that grinding it down, grinding things down to try and get to the core of it. Because at the core of all things, there's the Or Mufla Rimala of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And while experience looks very large at times, when sometimes when the 11 spices of life are connected together, it appears to become one gigantic monster that forgets that it's composed of smaller parts, of 12 small, of 11 small parts. And when something forgets that it's made up of parts, or we forget that it's made up of parts, so then we see it as unassailable. We see it as too big for us. I can't attack such a monster. This monster is far too big, as David HaMelech expresses so often in Tehillim. But when we break it down, when it's refined, when we break it down into parts, when we compartmentalize the issue, when we break the boulder that needs to be thrown at us into a million little pebbles so that we still receive the punishment, yet we receive it in imaginable way, as the Kol HaTur describes, as Leshem describes, by breaking a problem up, by looking at our lives through a lens of fragmentation of, I'm going to deal with this thing and then this thing, and when I'm done dealing with that thing, I'll deal with this thing, and this problem is not really connected to that problem, so now it's not just one big problem, but it's two smaller problems, and two smaller problems can be addressed, Aleph and then Beis. That's much easier than feeling that there's just an overwhelming blob of negative energy in a person's life. And this is the secret of grinding down the Ketores, sachak and yafa yafa, kadesh yedakim and adaka, dakuskite. Refinement, refinement, specificity, nuance, razor edge of significance and essentiality in a person's life in accordance with their inner understanding of a Kaddish Baruch Hu in accordance to themselves in that moment. And the lashon of tzachachan, of grounding, is also a language of laughter, not to be too serious about trying to refine life or trying to uncover the spiritual spark of life, but rather to allow ourselves to encounter this process in a playful way. In a playful way, with realizing that I know what I'm doing, and I also have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. I know what I'm saying, and I have no idea what I'm saying. I know what it all means, and I have no idea what it all means. I thought I was wise, and I have absolutely nothing. Each person needs to feel that they're the center of the universe, and they're nowhere in the universe. They have to have the feeling of a big heart in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they have to have an awareness that I've got nothing, Hashem. I'm just you. I'm just an expression of you. I'm just an expression of you because I have no control whatsoever. And I'm this is not flying, this is falling in style. And when a person does it with humor, with not taking the self too seriously, when the self-refinement and the refinement of this worldliness and the breaking it down and the attention to the problems, but not taking the problems too seriously, not taking myself too seriously, this is the way we refine things properly. This is the way we're mantik dinim. It's the same thing that we do in Maror, says the Lashem Shabbat Chaloma, where we chew it down to bite-sized pieces to make it palatable. Someone who swallows Maror, which is the secret of the dinim, just as the Keteres is the secret of the dinim, as we're going to see, and struggles in our life, it's only by chewing it that we're able to process it. If I look at all of my problems in one life, if I'm opening up my day and I have a million tabs open in front of me, then it's no wonder I don't want to get out of bed. But when I have one tab, and when I'm done with that tab, I'll look at the next tab. So then life becomes a little bit more manageable. And the Keteres is mamtik the dinim in that way. It's mamtik the misa. It's mamtik the struggle. And another way is that the Keteres was comprised ultimately of two categories of spices. There were the 10 regular spices and there was the chelbana. The chelbana was the ugly spice. It was the difficult spice. It was the one that represented absence in this world. That point, that thorn in the heart, that place, that wound, that difficult point that the person can't seem to assimilate into the mind. That nekuda, which seems to extend outwards of what a person theoretically thinks of themselves, other people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. That nekuda of a malik, that place that needs to be refined, but it just won't be refined. That lev basar. I'm sorry, that lev evan. The lev evan that seemingly just can't get unstuck. And what we tend to do is we want to celebrate the 10 spices that smell very good. Look at our strengths. Only look at our good things. Only look at the parts of ourselves that are on. And when we're encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we tend to look at only the positive parts of ourselves while ignoring that nekuda, that lev ha'evan, that chelbana, that reach ra, that part of ourselves that doesn't fit within the narrative, that doesn't necessarily leave us feeling connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that doesn't leave us feeling our best selves at the end of the day, where we can close our eyes and say, Biyado afkid ruchi Rabbanu shel Olam, I'm good. I'm good because I'm connected to you. I'm good because I know I'm connected to you. I'm good because I know I'm connected to you. There's always that nekuda that takes a person away from that, that nekuda of a malik, that nekuda of doubt. And that's the chelbana. That's the pungency. That's the odorous element of this world. That's the negative scent, the scent of avodah zarah, the scent of difficulty, that death-bringing odor, that smell that pollutes the air. Not so much the air in Eretz Yisrael b'chlal, not the air of Eretz Yisrael b'chlal. But that pollution of the air is the nekuda of the chelbana, that odorous element of our lives, the parts that we're shameful of, the parts that we haven't yet integrated, meaning to say we're still working on it. The chelbana is an important place where all of the work is done, but it's the parts of ourselves that are still undergoing resistance. And sometimes there's many different pockets of this throughout our lives. And the secret of the chelbana is that while one would assume that I should leave this out of the admixture, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want this smell from me for? I'm going to offer my best. I'm going to manufacture the greatest Keteres offering in the world. I'm going to make it perfect. I'm going to make myself perfect like you desire, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, say we in our immature spiritual minds that assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands something that's impossible of us. To be human is to be imperfect. That's the first postulate, because only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. Once we get that down, then everything else in Avodah is just ultimately endless growth, gradational growth, one step after another. Aleph, Aleph Beis, Aleph Beis Gimel, Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet, Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey, until we reach the full sheer Pashut Kafel Meshulash and Meruba with the entire Aleph Beis itself, from Aleph to Taf, Taf to Aleph. And we include the Chelbana within us. We include that within the Keteres offering. Instead of assuming that we have the perfection, instead of assuming that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a perfect offering, we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants an imperfect offering, and that's what's deemed as perfect. The imperfection of the human being, the secret of Misa, is what gives the Jewish people the right to the Torah over the Malachim. And that's the secret of including the Chelbana into the Keteres. It's a secret Chazal say in Krisos Daf Vav Amid Beis. Krisos is Lashon of Karis, of separation, of disconnectivity. Vav is an Ois HaChibor, it's the Vav HaChayim. The secret of the Vav HaChayim within Karis itself, within death itself, is the secret of the Chelbana, which is on the Daf over there. And Chazal say that from where do we know that a fast for Klal Yisrael, that a moment of pain where Klal Yisrael need to beseech Shemayim and bring down Rachamim Rabim, as we do each and every moment of our lives? From where do we know that that must include even the sinners, Kav Yachol, whatever that word might mean? the sinners, the transgressors, those who are not operating in accordance with the ideal and whatever ideality we're dealing with. What does that mean? It means that any fast that doesn't include those parts that seem to be outside of the whole, those separate parts, those dark parts, it's not considered whole. There's no wholeness that does not deal with integrating the parts that are the opposite of it. The opposite is what reveals the very wholeness of the thing, because it's so whole that it could contain within itself its opposite and reveal something more than itself. That's the secret of the chelmna. That's the secret of the fast that has to include even Poishe Yisrael. Even those who have tried to scrub the name of Yisrael away from every part of their self, had run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we all try in each and every way that we do it. But ultimately, it's the part of ourself that's been running away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's dragged back into the tainus. That's the secret of the chelbana that's included within Keteres. And so not only is the derech to be mamtik, the dinim of Keteres, to refine them, and then slowly but surely look at one after the other and crunch it down and break it down until it's manageable in bite-sized pieces. But there's also the willingness to include within ourselves the parts that are not okay right now. And because once I could accept that something is not okay, then I can work on actually beginning to figure out how to make it okay rather than running away from the notion of ever admitting that it's not okay. And the fear very often, the fear which is born out of a shame or a past trauma or whatever it might be, is ultimately out of being caught in being stuck or being tied up in whatever it is that a person is stuck in to the degree that they can't escape it, or being found out, the shame that comes with it. Or the fear that, I'm never going to be perfect as a result of this thing. I'm never going to be perfect as a result of this thing. And because of that, because each and every person has that place in their hearts, so our natural inclination would be to push away the chelbana. But Chazal teach us that no, the way to refine oneself is to include it within, to allow that pungency to not only add to the smell, but to undergo a process of refinement of the self. We're in the Zman of Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, which is the Bittul B'Shishim, like the Lubavitch Rebbe said. There's a secret of the Chalbana is Mevutal. It's negated within all of the pleasant-smelling spices, but the purpose is not to negate it. The purpose is to refine it, uncover its inner energy, the power force that comes about specifically by way of the pungency of the human experience, and to force it to propel the pleasant-smelling spices to an even higher place, the secret of Mordechai and Esther, the secret of Esther and Mordechai. And ultimately, this brings us to the secret of Keteres as it connects to Purim, especially Purim Katan, as the Arizal describes. But how could it be that a person could come in their life to a place of Baruch Haman, of a Malik itself, of difficulty, of doubt, of all of the things that we know that we want to remove ourselves from, or remove from our lives, or scrub away from our minds, the doubts and the anger and the resentment and the anxiety and all of those things that just quietly or loudly, depending on the volume of the moment, push a person away from the menucha l'chayo elamim that rests in front of a person at each and every moment, the moment they close their eyes. And for longer than a moment, they try and contemplate the Shem Havaya in front of their eyes and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we learn to find the nitzutz tov? How do we learn to say yes to that thing? How do we learn to say baruch to the reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created concealment in the world? And the Arizal says something very powerful. He says that one has to understand that, like we've spoken about before, there's no such thing as something that exists without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light. Nothing exists outside of the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a concealed level. All there is was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all there will be is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of us are just expressions of that. All of us are expressions to be Megala Tesefes Kishut, of Nishmas Yisrael, to draw the infinite light down into existence every moment, that Simsum that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us out of the abundant love that he has, like a father or parent who makes themselves smaller for the sake of their child. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu descends down into that place of concealment that appears apparently devoid of him, that makom of concealment, of hastara shebetoicha hastara. And what we have to come to be aware of is the fact that there is a very delicate nekuda, a tiny, tiny point, but an infinitesimal point that contains all things, because the infinite cannot be divided. And therefore, any tiny point, no matter how infinitesimal of the infinite we might be encountering, we are ultimately revealing that the entirety of the infinite rests there. That Tzimtzum is not real, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never fully revealed, removed himself, ever. never removed himself whatsoever, even in those low places. And by uncovering that tiny, tiny dot of significance, that nekuda daka, that thin line of connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wherever one finds themselves, even in the dark places of their lives, even in the struggles of their lives, even in the moments of doubt and denial and all of the different things that a person might undergo, and hopelessness and lo aleinu, all of the different thoughts and processes that go through and above and under the mind at each and every moment, gam sham nimsa Hashem Yisparach. Gam sham nimsa Hashem Yisparach. And if a person were to reveal that on a regular day, if a person were to reveal that in an open, revealed way, then the gig would be up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would reveal himself above and below, as we already know deep within our hearts, which is the punchline of the joke that we're not allowed to laugh at yet. On Purim, we're allowed to laugh at it. Not on Purim Katan. On Purim Katan, it has to be a chuckle. Actually, Adarabba, on Purim Katan, tzaddikim make tish. The tzaddikim make tish. A person can laugh. It's toiv lev mishta tamid. It's a secret of what the Chassam Sofer is, that Purim Katan is the Oraisa of Purim, not the Derabbanans of Purim, but the Oraisa of Purim. The fundamental element of Purim is as true in Purim Katan, as we said before, because the essence of Purim is the revelation that takes place at the very bottom, even when a person falls away from what they thought was the bottom. And so on one day a year, in a moment of shichrus, whatever that intoxication means, it doesn't only mean substance, it does not mean intoxicant. In this context, for the shirim that we're giving, for the light revealed, it does not mean we're not talking about substance intoxication. We're talking about the intoxication of the mind. The shichrus of racial, the shichrus of racial lois yada. The intoxication of racial lois yada. The awareness that I know absolutely nothing. I don't know anything. That's the tachlis of the day. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. And in that place, a person reveals that nitzutz of concealed goodness that rests in struggle, and we elevate it back up and we say Baruch Haman. And a person can only do that in a state of unconsciousness, in the lowest, where a person feels that they're not in control, and they come to realize, Hashem, everything is from you, everything is by chance, because you're the only thing that is real. Chance is the realest thing, because it's what you've chosen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's what you've chosen. Random precision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Arizal says that this secret of the nitzutz that's hidden in a malik, this nitzutz that could be nis'ala from a malik through the recognition of I don't know anything at all, and all of the different parts can be unified together, that is the secret of the Ketairah, says the Arizal. It's the spark that animates the Ketairah, that light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that can be uncovered wherever a person finds themselves, and to climb slowly, 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 but surely up. Now again, all of the details of these sugyos are pages and pages and pages and pages and pages from tzaddikim, and the Rebbe has so many hasberim on this. But for our purposes, the secret of the Ketairos is ultimately to uncover the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in those places in our life that are difficult, the fragmented places, to elevate the difficulty, to learn how to work on it while accepting it, working on it while accepting on it, and realizing that acceptance does not mean stopping to work. The terror is that if I accept, I won't change. But there's a secret of acceptance and then change. Change that emerges from acceptance, growth that emerges out of a possibility of more rather than a fear of less. And through this, we could be zeichet the light of Purim. So Kedush Arim says there's one day a year. Anything that's said about Purim is extra true for Purim Katan. Everything that's said about Purim in terms of the spiritual terminology of the day is also true for Purim Katan, as we explained. And the Kedush Arim says that B'nai Yisrael davened enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to give us a day where we could ask for anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Jewish people anything. And it was a day, an opportunity where tefillah, where prayer, where beseechment, where honesty, where connectivity, where learning, where desire, where ratzon, where change, where growth is fully accessible to a person. Fully accessible to a person. And the Malachim came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those very same Malachim, who said, these people, you know, they can't get the Torah. Until they realize the secret of death is not something the Malachim can understand. The secret of Ketores is not what they can understand. They can't smell. They don't have to smell the Besamim after Shabbos when they feel that they've died in order to revive themselves. And so the Malachim said, Rabbeinu Shlomo, they're going to ask for Mashiach Tzidkenu. They're going to ask for the pleasant smell of all things, the sweet smell, the Shoshana Ha'amiti of Mashiach Tzidkenu, of Mashiach Ben David, of Moirech Vadayan, of the Mar Dror, of the Hizgalus of Yisai Da'ab Lamat Ba'ilam Ha'asiyah Ba'ifin Galut. And the Malachim say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not fair. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks about it, Kavyachal, and he says, you know what, it's not fair. And so Hashem says, but I don't want to take away the gift. They deserve this gift, the day. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a decision. He says, I'm going to give them the day, but I'm also going to give them the mitzvah of intoxication. And people are going to come to be confused with substance intoxication. they're going to lose sight of the opportunity of the day. And maybe they'll try and daven one word out of that place of the bahala of the day and the running around. And so they won't get to daven. Now that's true generally on a Purim. On Purim, that's true, right? Where a person is running around with Mishloach Manos and Matanas Lavyonim and carnivals and all of the Heilige Mitzvahs of the day and costume and Kriyas and Megillah and all of the things, that it's very difficult for a person to align themselves to a day where they could daven. But on Purim Katan, we don't have those things. Purim Katan, a person just has the pure potency of the day itself, the day of Emunah, Bitachon, Simcha, a day of Shalva, of Menucha, of Yegiyah, of Tefillah, of Torah, of Hamshacha, and all the positive things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give to his Jewish people, should give to the entire world, should give to each and every one of us with an open heart. It should be a day of Simcha, it should be a day of Yeshua, it should be a day of Nechama. We should all be Zoche Bezras Hashem to Vias HaGeula B'mehera B'yameinu Amen.
You've been listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Inward was created by Rabbi Zach Kamenetz and is produced by Zev Gavriel. The music is by Zusha. You can help support the production of this podcast by visiting us online at orpodcasts.com.